As we were worshiping, I don't know about you, but my stomach was growling. My stomach was telling my body that that raisin bran and half a banana had worn off. And today I just want to allow my thought was, and he was talking about hungering. And it was like, in my mind, it's like, man, I'm hungry. And today I want my heart to tell my spirit, you're hungry. And so today I'm just going to ask you just to allow the word of the Lord to speak to you. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. I named this Turn on the Faucet. And I know it doesn't match the picture that I picked. But how many know that was the faucet in their day? That was their faucet. Growing up, I read a lot of Louis L'Amour's books. He sold over 250 million books, and 100 of those books are still, all of them, in fact, are still in print. But people asked him, what was the key to your success, to your writing? And he said this. He said, I start writing no matter what. The water does not flow until the faucet is turned on. And so today, you know, a lot of us are procrastinators. We put off what we should be doing for tomorrow, the next day, and sometimes we never even get around to it. But today, as the church, I believe that it is time. This is Pentecost Sunday, and we're not just talking about the Holy Spirit because it's on the calendar, but it's because of what we need here today. And I believe today that we need this to be the motto of our life. The water does not flow until the faucet is turned on, until you turn the faucet on. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just asking God for just an opportunity here to receive from you. We're looking once again, God, for just a fresh anointing from the heavens today, Lord. Lord, we know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. And so right there, Lord, we already have him in us, and it's just allowing him to have his way in our life. And today, Lord, I pray that the light will be turned on in the hearts and minds of your people today. Once again, of the importance and the need that we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just commit these next few moments as we get into the Word. We commit the altar time to you, believing in faith, God, that you have something wonderful for those who respond. And so we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to talk about two gifts. There's two gifts come in two forms. There is the sentimental, there is the personal gift, and then there is the practical. And men, we miss this a lot when it comes to the sentimental or the personal gift. We think of our wives and we think, well, you know, she needs some bath towels. She needs some pots and pans. And that old vacuum cleaner, yes, sitting in the closet, man. And, you know, that's kind of our mentality. We're kind of practically minded. But how many know, women, you don't want those type of gifts? Men, they do want it. Okay, sorry. I got the wrong crowd. I know my wife would like something more personal and sentimental because any day of the year I can go out and buy a vacuum. I can buy pots and pans. I can do those things. But on those special occasions, they want something special. And men, we're built a little different, so we kind of think along the idea of being practical. We like practical. Give me a Lowe's card, right? Set me loose. Give me a tool, right? That type of thing. And one of these gifts, the personal gift, is focused on the heart, and the other is focused on the hand, being useful to what we have to do. There was a little boy who asked his father one day, he said, Dad, I want to buy Mom something for Mother's Day. What should I get her? The father answered, well, you could promise to keep your room clean and neat. You could come when she calls. You can go straight to bed. You can brush your teeth after eating. You could quit fighting with your sister. And the boy looked at his father like he was nuts and said, no, I mean something practical. So we have been given something practical here today. God has given us something today. God has given us many gifts, but there are two outstanding gifts that both minister to the heart and to the area of practicality in our lives. We know Romans 6:23. It says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so as we look at these two gifts, we understand the first gift, the gift of salvation. We understand that we can't receive the second gift until we receive the first gift. And so Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 tells us, for by grace you have been what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says this, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so the first gift that God has offered us through his Son Jesus Christ is salvation. The second gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to reiterate the point that we can't receive the second gift until we receive the first gift. But the second gift leads to a life of purpose and power. Acts 1:4 we're familiar with, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Jump down four more verses to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So we know that we are commissioned in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples, multiply, duplicate yourself, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So these are two amazing, wonderful gifts that God has provided for us. And I think they're top-notch. I think they're right up at the top. And so we want to share that with you today, that God not only wants you to be saved, but he wants you to be filled with his Holy Spirit. So I brought with me a glass here today and a pitcher today. And this glass represents a well today. And if we read John chapter 4, we see that salvation is an inward gift. It's something that God does within us. It is a personal gift. It is just for me. I can't be saved for you. And I can't save you. So it is a personal gift. We talked about the personal gift. We talked about the practical gift. So this is the personal gift that God has given to you. It is a gift from God's heart to your heart. It is the abiding of the Holy Spirit within us. It is for our own consumption. So when I have a glass, if I say, hey, Chris, after drinking, would you drink after me? Probably not. And so we grew up as kids. How many had the family cup sitting on the sink? Nowadays, God forbid that you would drink out of somebody else's cup, right? We all survived, right? Amen? And so we have been given this. So this represents a well today. That is the well of salvation. And Jesus was talking, of course, to the woman at the well. It will come, what? Bubbling up within you. It's a well. And that's salvation. So when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it is an outward flow of the gift that God has given us. It's not just for our own consumption, but it is for other people as well. And in John chapter 7, he describes it as a river. So he goes from talking about a well in chapter 4 to talking about a river. And what's a river do? It flows, right? And it spreads. And so that represents the picture here. This is what God is calling us to be. He's calling us to be a pitcher. He's calling us for the purpose of ministry to other people. How many know when mom and dad are around, you may drink from the pitcher, but when they're around, you don't drink from the pitcher, right? You don't drink from the carton of milk, right? So we know what a pitcher does, right? It pours water out. It's not for our own consumption, but it's for the consumption of other people, right? It's just a simple illustration, isn't it? So today we are either a well or we are a pitcher. And even in the assemblies of God, people are moving away from being a pitcher to being a glass, a well, instead of a river. There is a dilemma in the United States Assemblies of God. We are moving away from the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We need to be careful, church. We need to be on guard. And I believe the leadership of our church is saying, hey, we don't want to go that direction. We want to be a pitcher today. So as we look at this illustration, we see that a pitcher is what? When we're talking about a river, it's being in partnership with God. It's the practical side of being filled with God in our lives. So there is the well, it's just for our consumption, but there's also the river that flows out of us into the lives of other people. So you need to understand, as Jesus is talking about this, he is talking about, John chapter 7 is the festival of the shelters. And so there is a festival going on, and one of the things they do is the priests go down to the Pool of Siloam, they get a pitcher of water, they walk out, and they pour it out as an offering before the altar. And on the last day, they pour it out as an offering to God, and they recite Isaiah 12:3, which says, "With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation." And so on the last day of the feast, what happens is, They get the water out of the Pool of Siloam. They come up and they march around the altar 7 times, like the story of Jericho. They march around and they pour out the water. And just think, as they're doing this and as the crowd is watching the priest doing this, Jesus shouts out. He breaks the quiet. And on the last day in the great feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." Jesus was prophesying about the future, about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, because it says it even in parentheses in your Bible. The Holy Spirit had not yet been given. But he was prophesying what we as his people should do. It's kind of like turning on a faucet. He's saying it's time to let the water flow. Yes, we are a well, but yes, we are also a river. And I don't know about you, but there are faucets everywhere you go. As you drive down the street, as you drive by houses, there's faucets there. How many know there's faucets in this building? How many know if you even go camping in a state or federal, wherever that place is, campground, there's faucets there. You go to restaurants, there's faucets there, right? You go to a gas station. Everywhere and anywhere there are faucets. And how many know that God wants us to be a faucet wherever we're at? He wants the river to flow wherever we are at. So today we're going to tell you it's not just about speaking in tongues. That's not where we want to take you today. That is just the starting point. But what God is wanting you to do is he wants you to experience empowerment to do. Empowerment to work. Empowerment to minister. That's where God wants to take us. He wants us to be a pitcher and not just a well. So if we're going to choose to sit and soak, the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for us. I don't believe it is. What good is it? It's not about doing church as usual, as I often say, but it's about being an overcoming church, a church triumphant, a church that ministers. If we want life and life more abundantly, we quote that over and over again. How many know we receive life through Jesus Christ? But how many know when you receive the Holy Spirit, it magnifies that? You begin to step into areas that you couldn't by just accepting Jesus Christ. When we're baptized in the Holy, it opens new doors, new avenues, new opportunities that we can't have without being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Yes, God can do anything anytime he wants. Yes. But when we respond to receiving the Holy Spirit, guess what? It opens up doors that would never be open to us before. So if you want to do the works of Christ and greater works, we often quote that. That's what we pray. Lord, we want to do greater works. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's for us personally, yes, but it is also for our ministries. And how many know everybody has a ministry? Everybody has a ministry. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we will naturally bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We will. It flows through our life. How many know a river pushes things out of the way, right? The Holy Spirit wants to push things out of our lives. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we will operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some people say, no, tongues is not the only gift. No, it's not the only gift, but it is what we consider the initial gift. You will not find a church that does not speak in tongues also working in the miracles of God. Think about it. They may be getting people saved, but people aren't getting healed. There's no prophetic utterances. There's no tongue interpretations. There's no other gifts being in operation in their church. They have limited God. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we have a new intensity through our prayer language for intercession. How many know prayer life can get dry? It can be boring. Aren't you glad when you pray, you can pray in the Spirit? Aren't you glad that when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying the perfect will of God? So it gives us an intensity in it. We will walk in authority when we have the Holy Spirit. We will be empowered and equipped to proclaim the Word of God with great influence. It's time we stop using the Word of God as a club, beating people up with it, and allow the anointing of the Holy Spirit to break through some things. I like that scripture, my word is like a hammer that shatters the rock. I love that. All these hard-hearted people out there, you know, if you're anointed by the Holy Spirit and you're witnessing under the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to shatter some rocks. It'll move those mountains that don't seem to be able to move. Hallelujah. So if we remove the Holy Spirit from our ministry, from this equation, why do we need the provisions of the Holy Spirit? Why do we want him if we're not going to minister in his name, if we're not going to be that river? Freely we have received, freely we give. So why the Holy Spirit? 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Stick with me. Some of you are dozing. Don't doze. Don't doze. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We talked about this last week. It is the God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm in Christ. He has commissioned us. You are commissioned, church. And he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts as the first installment. Remember we talked about that? That guarantees. Aren't you glad for guarantees? God guarantees everything he has promised us. I'm going to tell you today, don't get robbed by the devil. Don't allow him to talk you out of this wonderful gift that he has for you. Because he has not only promised you and guaranteed you the Holy Spirit, but he has guaranteed you everything that he has promised you. Not just some things, everything. For all of us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? A guarantee of our inheritance. The Word of God speaks of our inheritance through Jesus Christ. It is guaranteed. It is a deposit. until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise and the glory of God. So as we move towards the end of this service today, giving you an opportunity, and we've been speaking on this for 5 weeks, and I hope you've received something over those 5 weeks and have gotten an inclination that we need the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism because Jesus needed the Holy Spirit. The scripture says that Jesus was what? Anointed by the Holy Spirit to do what? To destroy the works of the devil. Jesus needed the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil. We need the baptism because the early church needed the Holy Spirit. They did. Not just apostles, not just the deacons, but the church as a whole needed the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism because we need the Holy Spirit. Do you understand that? We need the Holy Spirit. Acts 22, verse 38 and 39. The availability of it is for everyone. Then Peter said to them, repent. Why do we want to repent? So that we can be saved. There's a sequence. I was flipped somebody on Christian TV, and he was preaching along this same line. Repentance, baptism, and filling of the Holy Spirit. The three things that the early church did practice, and the result was they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promises to you, to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. It's for everyone. Luke 11, 13, we read this a couple weeks ago. If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who do what? Ask. Bible says we have not because we ask not. We have stopped asking in the church for this wonderful gift. We talk about everything under the sun, but this one amazing gift that God has given his church. And he said, if you want it, ask for it. And today we want to give you that opportunity to just do that. So who needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you want to turn on the faucet in your life, it's for those who repent. It's for those who follow Jesus in water baptism. It's for those who the Lord is calling, for those who need the fruit of the Spirit, for those who want to be used in the gifts found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, for those who want to boldly and effectively witness, for those called to minister. How many know that when we read Joel chapter 2 and Acts chapter 2, and it says, I will pour out my Spirit upon your sons and your daughters shall what? You know what prophecy means? It doesn't mean what we think it does, telling the future, like the book of Revelation. But it's talking about speaking in behalf of God. It's talking about witnessing. It's talking about preaching. Right now, I am prophesying. And he said, I will give that ability for you to be my witness, to be a prophet for me, to be my spokesman. That's why they were just Harry in Jerusalem, to be endued, so that their witness, their testimony of what Jesus Christ did would go forth with power. It's for those who want power over sin and habits. Are there some strongholds in your life that you just can't seem to break through? There's some things that you just can't shake off? The Holy Spirit can help you. For those who want to pray for others and for those who pray for themselves. How we know Jude says we are to build up our own faith by what? Praying in the Spirit. Though, for those who want to receive visions and dreams, how many would like God to give you a vision or dream, right? I believe most of us. For those who want more out of their church experience. Oh. You know, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you get more out of church. It's for those who want to enrich their worship experience. We should make, I'm about ready to put cameras up on the wall to show you during worship and during the preaching. You get more out of it when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah. For those seeking guidance and direction, for those who feel they need a helper, a comforter, an advocate. And it's for those who do not think they need him. So if you're here today and say, I don't think I need him, it's for you. It is for you. So Whitney, if you'll come. We just want to spend a few moments in God's presence, and we're just asking you, if you've never been filled, today is your opportunity. And again, if you've come up dry a little bit, maybe you have allowed, you have shelved that gift that God's given you. It's time to take it off the shelf, wipe the dust off, and enter back into a relationship with him. You see, receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit only has one condition. There's only one thing that you need to receive this gift. It has nothing to do with worthiness. It has nothing to do with your lifestyle, your doctrine, or your interpretation of what you think the Bible says. The only thing you need to receive this gift is you have needed to have accepted Jesus Christ. Because it's Jesus Christ who baptizes with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you're waiting to get cleaned up before you receive the gift, you'll never get it. You don't have a chance. It's with this gift he helps clean you up. Gifts must be received. It's really not a gift unless you receive it. And that's what God has done for you. Don't sit back and say, no, not today's not the day. I'm saying today is the day. Today is the day of salvation, but it is also the day to receive the Holy Spirit. How do I know I received the Holy Spirit? I'm not going to quote one of the 16 fundamentals of the Assemblies of God. Because they got it out of the Bible. We believe that speaking in tongues is an initial gift. There are many teaching that is not true. That you could be filled without that. But all I've got to say is, why would God give somebody a gift that he wouldn't give you? How many know the Bible says that he gives us the Holy Spirit to help us pray? So why would he give that to me and not to you? It doesn't seem quite fair, does it? If he's given me and told me, as I said in Jude, that we are to pray in the Spirit to build ourselves up, why would he give me that gift and not give you that gift so that you can build yourself up in God? The Bible tells us to pray with understanding and in the Spirit, but it also tells us to worship with our understanding and in the Spirit. And why would he give that to me and not give you the ability to do that? When people received the Holy Spirit, something happened, and it was evident to the people of their day. We saw it on the day of Pentecost in chapter 2. What? They were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. Chapter 4, it says they were refilled, but it doesn't say. Some of these scriptures, it's stated directly, and you can kind of read between the lines and know that it happened. In chapter 8, Philip went to Samaria. A lot of miracles happened. A lot of great things happened to the ministry of Philip. But they sent Peter and John down, and what? They laid hands on them, and what did they do? They began to they received the Holy Spirit and began to do something outwardly that Simon the sorcerer said, hey, I like that. I want that. What were they doing? Speaking in tongues. Chapter 9, Paul, when he was saved, his eyes were opened, he was healed, he got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And later Paul would write in the book of Corinthians, I speak in tongues more than y'all. He was Southern. 10, Cornelius, Peter's just preaching. And man, the Spirit comes down and fills that whole house, these Gentiles, with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke in tongues. Chapter 19, Paul goes to Ephesus and comes across some individuals. And he asks them, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Or have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, man, we haven't even heard there is such a thing. He said, what baptism you received? John's. Paul said, let me tell you about Jesus. He preaches Jesus, lays hands on them. They get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. With the evidence of speaking in tongues. It's a common occurrence in the early church. And you can argue, you can fight, have your opinion. But I allow you to be wrong. I give you permission. It's for you today. So if you're here and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, we're inviting you today. We want to pray for you today. There's nothing to fear. I don't know if my daughter's sleeping. I believe there's a PowerPoint. It's not weird. How many know people think we're weird? You know, we have people in our community. We have people that won't come here because we're weird, because we believe in the Holy Spirit. How many know it's natural? We kind of think it's something that God's going to come on you like a demon-possessed person and make you do weird things. Did you do weird things when you got saved? I mean, you might have cried. But the Holy Spirit's not going to make you do something weird. Yes, sometimes God moves and does something crazy. Some people fall out. Some people do different things, but most of the time it's natural. Most of us can't say, well, this is what happened when I got filled up. No, it just kind of was a natural step from salvation to being filled with the Spirit. So we don't want you to think that I'm going to be possessed by God and do weird stuff. That's not what it's about. But it begins by just asking today, do you really want the Holy Spirit? And what we're going to ask you to do today is just speak in tongues. Why? Because if you're saved, he's already in you. It's not like he has to travel from somewhere else to come. He's already in us. That's the good news. And so all you have to do is open your mouth. We may have complicated this thing. We have scared people. We have shaken people. You remember those services? Hallelujah. So if you're here today, I'm encouraging you today to turn on the faucet, that God has something greater for you. Yes, being a whale is great. Yes, you're on your way to heaven. But God wants you to take someone with you. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, to empower you to be my witnesses. Today I'm witnessing to you. If you're here today, I invite you. If you've never been filled, today's your day. I'm going to invite you to come forward. If you're here today and you haven't spoken in tongues in a long time and you just kind of allowed that to kind of fade out of your life, it's time to renew that. I'm not asking you to pray about it or think about it. I'm asking you to move right now. If you're in this house today and you want to fill with the Holy Spirit, are you here today? Don't think about it. It's for you. It's for you.